Fire of Truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, welcome. We have to comply. We have to comply with the censorship, or we will be banned on banned.video. We have to comply. No longer can we can say good stuff about Trump. We have to be negative Trump, negative America. We have to hate America all the way around, or we get censored on banned.video. Welcome, everybody. The Democrats. You know what? The Democrats, they love to cherry pick. They will take the truth from any situation and change it as much as possible to fit their narrative. Adam Schiff and other Democrats demonstrate this on a day-to-day basis. You know, with the whole censorship, they lie and lie and lie, and then we get censored for telling the truth. The left has been caught lie after lie after lie. They constantly lie, and now they're trying to constantly update their lies so it doesn't look like they're lying. You ever known someone like that? To tell a lie and then they have to tell another lie to cover up the last lie, and then they're telling another lie to cover up that lie? Reminds you of the Democrats, right? All of the entire left. The left has lost every sense of rationality. They no longer see facts and truth as something valued in our lives today. Ellen DeGeneres was sitting with the president, President Bush, of all people, at a ball game, and people got upset. I mean, seriously, they are just at a ball game, and people are upset. Oh, because they were getting along. You can't get along with him. He's a white man, and he's a Republican. Afterwards, she made a statement. She said, okay, you know what? Something is completely wrong here. People need to learn how to be kind to one another. And you know what? Amazingly, the left, they saw this. They were like, wow, she's right. We should be kind to one another. This is the left. The socialist, communist media, all of them were saying, you know what? She's right. We should be kind to one another and not be mean. But do you remember AOC? Do you remember Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar? All of them refused to denounce Antifa. Not a single one of them would denounce Antifa. And here we are again. Okay? Now, you also have Democrats within inside of the party won't even denounce Antifa, but they're all being mean. They're not going to let go of their hatred. So right after they acknowledge, oh, yeah, maybe we should be nice, they completely forgot all about it. Went back to attacking President Trump. The Democrats are trying every effort to remove the morals from this country. They aggressively tell children not to be happy the way you were born. And then they have the audacity, the nerve, to call you hateful, to call us hateful if we tell children to be happy the way you were born. This is our society. The left has been working extremely hard to change it and to remove Christianity completely. When you have a judge showing compassion to someone who did break the crime by giving them a hug and giving them a Bible, so hopefully they will change their ways, people get upset. What does that say about the society that we live in? All right, so go over banned.video. And click on the hamburger stack at the top left and click on firepowernews.com and share that link. You'll watch it live from there right now. Let's head on into the studio. All right, we have special guests coming on with us. And of course, we have Tom Pepper. He's going to be with us. Look, you got to recognize what's happening here. You've got to recognize the censorship is no joke. Yes, China has taken over all of the liberal media. All of Hollywood, they're taking it all over. But you know what? We do have banned.video. We have banned.video to fight it. Share it. Now, we need your help. We need your help. Share that link. Banned.video. 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 You share that link. That's how you engage. And that's how you fight. That's how you get back at these shycoms and all of these anti-American countries and anti-American people. Banned.video. We'll be back after this. Trigger, trigger, trigger.
You may have not. I got three, four more at home. This is the one I use every day. This is your job for the next month.
The judge's actions came under quick criticism, with one group calling for a judicial misconduct investigation. But here is what Judge Tammy Kemp just told CNN's Ed Lavandera about that moment.
She asked me, she said, "Do you think my life can still have a purpose?" And I said, "I know it can." And she said, "Well, do you think God will forgive me?" I said, "I know He will." And she said, "Well, I don't even have a Bible. I don't have a Bible. I don't know where to begin." And that's when I went and retrieved my Bible and gave it to her and told her, "Well, you can begin here at John 3:16. And we read that together. And then I said, "Now read it again. And when you get to the point of whosoever, you put your name in there so you'll know God did this for you." And when she said, "Can I have a hug?" I just kind of froze. And I kind of thought about my responsibilities as a person. I just heard a sermon on treating the lost with love and compassion. And ironically, I was standing in a spot where I had been standing when I was inducted as a judge in this courtroom. And I remembered that one of the charges that I was given was to do just, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. So I was like, And she asked me again, and I said, "Of course, of course." And so we got up, and she hugged me, and I hugged her back.
Wow, that is absolutely powerful. It's absolutely powerful. And we have people attacking her right now. People that's hating on her because she showed compassion. As a Christian, we're supposed to show compassion. We're supposed to, even to our enemies, we're supposed to show compassion. But you have people that are on the left, and I guarantee 100% that it's people that's on the left that call themselves Christians that are upset with her for showing compassion to someone that is about to go to prison. And they're upset because of the time limit she's going to serve. And for them to be upset because she gave this lady a Bible and told her, "Yes, God can forgive you." And then they call themselves Christians and they're upset because she did that. What does that say? What kind of country have we become? This is unbelievable that they would be upset. Now, no one is condoning her going into the apartment. This is about the ex-cop. She's an ex-cop now. She went into an apartment and she shot an unarmed black man. She happened to be a white female. And the main reason why they're all upset, because she's a white female. They wanted her to be in the chair. They hate the fact that this black judge hugged her and gave her a Bible. Tom, this really got to me, because I've talked to many people to where they get so upset. They get so upset that someone will show compassion to someone who committed a horrific crime. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I believe in the Word of God. And even in the Bible, it talks about how Paul was killing Christians and he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And these people can't not find it in their hearts to forgive. And it's amazing that we're even at this point.
You know, it's one of those stories that is really tragic, and I personally think maybe 10 years wasn't long enough, but that is all beside the point when it comes to seeing that the woman, the convicted killer, the ex-cop, as a child of Christ. I mean, she is fundamentally the same as you or me. You know, to bemoan this judge for forgiving her and helping her go to a road toward repentance, it is absolutely disgusting. Now, again, I think it's totally reasonable to say 10 years seems like a lenient sentence considering a man is dead. I think it's completely reasonable to point out that had this woman not been a cop and she had simply walked into a man's apartment and shot him, she would be reviled as a mass shooter and a reason why we shouldn't have guns. I think it's completely reasonable to be upset with the sentencing, but to be upset with the fact that she's sharing sharing a Bible and a bit of humanity with this woman who, regardless of what the reason was, her life has been irreparably ruined, really. I mean, you go to prison as a murderer, so she gets out in 10 years. She can't go back to being a police officer. Her life has been irreparably ruined. So it is it really was a beautiful moment to see that simple act of humanity and the grace of Christ be shown in a courtroom. And you're right. It is just this satanic outrage cult that they cannot accept Christianity. They can't, they may say they do. They cannot accept love, and they have to foam at the mouth over every little thing.
Exactly. And I mean, it's pretty despicable. It's disgraceful that they would even, you know, they be upset with her because the judge, you know, would show any kind of compassion. But anyways, let's change it up here. Ellen DeGeneres, she was at a ball game with 43, right? Bush W. And because they're sitting there getting along and she's on her phone and she's recording, sitting next to him and just sharing it. People got highly upset because she did this. And she makes it a point to point out that she's a gay Hollywood star, right? Like, that really makes a difference in anything. But she started receiving attacks on Twitter because people didn't like the fact that she was sitting next to President Bush and she was getting along with him. I mean, what did they expect her to do? What did they expect him to do? Be at each other's throats, choking each other? I mean, seriously, what did they expect him to do? So let's play this clip. I want you to see this clip. This is what CNN making an excuse, you know, like, oh, we should be kind to each other. Like, they just, an epiphany. Oh, yeah, we should. But they don't want to be kind, especially to President Trump. Let's go to that clip.
People were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? Didn't even notice I'm holding the brand new iPhone 11. And but a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. And but here's one tweet that I loved. This person says, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again. And exactly. Here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. And I'm friends with people who are furry, as a matter of fact. I have friends who should tweeze more. And I have... But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone.
God. CNN special correspondent Jamie Gangel is with me now. I know. Can we just have a moment for Ellen DeGeneres?
Breaking news.
Thank you.
When we have breaking news. I don't go on.
It's amazing.
But when I saw that, I tweeted it, and I said, this is perfect.
Yes.
Because I think, listen, especially in the time right now when everyone is so polarized, to have civility, to have someone talk about kindness is just so important. And actually, I worked in Washington, D.C. most of my career. Mm-hmm. It's not that unusual. It's just we don't expect it.
Yeah.
We don't expect
we
it.
We should all have friends who
liberals
look like us.
Liberals have a hard time understanding that they should be kind. This is crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow, poof, a light bulb went off. Maybe we should be kind. Really? Tom, this is crazy. Maybe we should be nice to each other. Tom, maybe we should start being mean to each other. I'm going to be mean to you, Tom, because that's what the liberals are doing. I'm going to pretend you're President Trump because you're a white male. And I'm a black man. I'm going to start being mean to you. And then I'm going to have this epiphany. Oh, wait a minute. We should start being kind. Yes, but the times we are in, the insanity of the left is beyond belief. And for them to have this epiphany that, what a new concept. What a new concept. Be kind to one another. Really? Really? How about you stick with the truth and just tell the truth, and you can be kind without even trying? Liberals can't help themselves because they're despicable, they're hateful, and they're all working for Satan himself. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
right, welcome back. If you can't see the screen, for everyone that's listening, we have some characters because we've been censored. So we're encouraging everyone to go over to ban.video. We're encouraging everybody to go over to ban.video because of the censorship that is taking place. And, you know, we got these characters on the screen. One is Tom Pepper and one is of myself. And I need to get mine to start talking and start saying I like to trigger liberals. Trigger, 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 trigger. But anyway, welcome back. Tom, you're there. So, you know what? Let's get you to go ahead and lead into this next clip that we have with these the CIA and these ex-CIA. But you go ahead.
So this is a former CIA spook. You may know him. His name is Mudd. And it's very interesting that this appeared on CNN of all outlets. You just saw in the last segment, CNN pretending that they're really about kindness and treating each other well and a good Christian mentality. Well, this former CIA spook who now calls himself a CIA analyst for CNN, he's on their payroll, from my understanding. He does not have a single kind thing to say about President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, or President Trump. And it goes back to what was said by Cry and Chuck Schumer 2 years ago, that the intelligence community has 8 ways from Sunday to get back at you. So let's roll this clip. And it's graphic. I mean, what he says is graphic. Let's roll the clip.
I spent a lot of time in government. There are State Department officials who will testify, intel guys, DOD, Department of Defense people. All of us are sort of a brotherhood and sisterhood. Rudy Giuliani parachutes in from Mars. The people who will testify are going to look at him, including State Department officials, and say, I don't have to protect that guy. He didn't operate by the rules. He didn't do what you're supposed to do in government. I suspect he's worried about what the Congress will do. If I were him, I'd be worried about whether people in government stick a shiv in his back. He's in trouble.
Sound like Rudy Giuliani needs to increase his security detail. I mean, what is that? Right. I mean, does that sound like an open threat to me?
It's hard to call something like that a veiled threat, but what he's really saying there is if you don't play by the deep state's rules, then they will take you out by any means necessary. Now, that could be political. Perhaps the State Department is going to somehow go after Rudy Giuliani in a political fashion. But, I mean, that is a clear violent threat. Look, if that were said on this broadcast or on any ban.video broadcast or on InfoWars, if Alex Jones said that would be front page of the New York Times. Alex Jones wants somebody to be murdered. But when it's Phil Mudd, a former CIA spook, he can essentially admit that if you don't do what the deep state wants you to do, you can be murdered.
Yeah, and Mudd spelled backwards. You know what? You're absolutely right. It's okay for them to threaten. I mean, look, we have Snoop Dogg depicting like he's getting ready to shoot the president. We had, Madonna saying blow up the White House, Kathy Griffin holding a severed head of the president, multiple people calling for his assassination. And you know what? It's just like, oh, this is typical. We should expect this because they're so angry. It's okay. They're just frustrated. But you know what? You're right. If it was Breitbart, if it was Drudge Report, if it was CNN, if it was Fox News, if it was InfoWars, if it was ban.video, if it was Firepower, if conservative OAN, if any conservative media outlet said anything or had someone in there close to it, they'll be trying to shut it down right now. This is ridiculous. They're calling for the assassination of Rudy Giuliani because Rudy, he let the cat out the bag on it. I mean, seriously, and they want to shut him up. I'm sure, pretty sure you've seen it. They're calling for him. What was it? Joe Biden just released a memo the other day saying, do not let Rudy Giuliani onto your networks. That's shut right. him up.
Well, this was the mayor of New York City during 9/11. This is a man who is all about unity and bringing the country together and having an accountable government, regardless of his policy positions when he was running for president and when he was mayor that I may disagree with. This man is a national treasure in the eyes of many. And even if they're not directly calling for violence, which I think there is a case to be made that when you're saying put a shiv in his back, that maybe that's what happened. But even if it's not a direct call to violence, they're putting this idea into the fragile fragile minds of mentally decrepit leftists everywhere. These radical people who go in the streets, they throw water at police officers, they try to rush the stage at Trump rallies. They're putting the idea into these people's heads that it's okay to stab Rudy Giuliani in the back with a shiv. That's the mental imagery they want in these sick people's heads.
It's crazy. So we have another one. Democrat they have tears. What is this? What is this one here? So I'm looking at this one here. This is Democrats' tears, a new one over impeaching Trump.
So this is a Republican congressman who is doing really what is unthinkable. He's telling the truth about what the Democrats are trying to cover up.
Tears the Democrats a new one. I got it.
Right.
This is crazy. You know what? You know what? I love it because I'm always constantly talking about how the Democrats or how Republicans don't stand up. And anytime we get Republicans to stand up and show something, show they have a backbone, I love it. So let's go ahead to the video.
Back in 2000, we can report, President Bill Clinton had a conversation with Tony Blair of the UK and asked him directly to intercede in a dispute between British Airways and two American carriers. The president at the time was much more direct than President Trump was in his conversation with the Ukrainian leader. This is Bill Clinton back then. I'm quoting, in a political season, it would be big over here to get this open sore resolved. If you could have somebody take a look at it, he asked. Tony Blair responded that he would. Now, is this a big deal? Not really. Is it nakedly political? Is it an effort to use a foreign country to influence the outcome of an election in a presidential year? Well, yes, it is, obviously. Incidentally, it didn't take long for us to find that transcript. We only had to dig through old Clinton transcripts for about 15 minutes. They're all kept. They're all online, by the way. There are probably a lot more examples, and if we find them, we'll bring them to you. But the point is, anyone commenting on this, anyone staring at the screen, and there are countless people who fit this description, and telling you, this has never happened before, it's outrageous. None of them took the time to check. Because whenever they're telling you that something is without precedent, you can be certain. It happens every day here.
Wow, no one took the time to check. That's amazing. I mean, what are they saying about it? You know what? They're not going to say anything about it. They're not going to say anything. They're going to say zip because it was Billy Clinton.
It's ironic, Will, that you have Hillary Clinton saying literally that we should shred the Constitution and impeach President Trump regardless of this whether this is an impeachable offense. Meanwhile, I mean, as you heard Tucker just say, 15 minutes of digging through the archives that are publicly available, you and I could have done this. Anybody could have done this. And I encourage the viewers to go through these archives and figure out what else might be in there. But 15 minutes of digging, and this is what they say President Trump did. They say in a lie that President Trump said to Ukraine, hey, look into this. Never happened.
Yeah.
But Clinton
I'm surprised they didn't take Bill Clinton's name and replace it with Trump. Oh, wait a minute. That's exactly what they did. What am I thinking?
Right.
What am I thinking? All right. FirePowerNews.com. You notice we got the pictures up here because all the censorship. Go to band.video and help us fight it. Band.video and support our sponsors. InfoWars Store. com.
Real news, real people, real politics. This is Firepower.
All right, welcome back, FirepowerNews.com. We have a special guest coming on with us. Tamika Hamilton is a Republican candidate running for Congress in California, 3rd District, Congressional District, challenging Democrat John Garamendi as candidate for office. She is focused on core issues that will actually impact the daily lives of her constituents. Tamika Hamilton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom Pepper and myself. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So let me start off with the first question. What made you decide to run for political office?
So the first I will say is that I've been serving in the military for the past 16 years. And when I raised my right hand, I love my country and I wanted to serve my country. And so when it came time to make a decision on serving in Congress, I decided to do the same thing again because I love my nation and because I love the people of this community.
Nice.
So let me kind of expand on that. I mean, they say that I'm guessing this is going to be a very difficult election to win. What has it been like running as a Republican in this race?
It's been amazing, actually. I have encountered so many amazing people along my journey to Congress. I've met so many people in this district that are ready for change on the left and right. And so one of the things that I would say is more, I want to say, if you want to say the challenge would be just how to navigate for the process of running for office, because there's so many different steps that you have to take. And it was a learning. It's been a great learning process.
So let me ask you, you're running in a district where a Democrat currently holds a seat. What has been the response to you and the, I guess, the support from the Republicans? Or in this case, the GOP.
So the local Republican Party has been really responsive. They've been helping me along the way. They've been helping me learn how it works as far as, for example, you have to do filings. You have to meet people that you normally wouldn't meet. You know, they've been helping me, gather intelligence on the area and what really matters to the people. And I also am a self-starter. So I just started just going out on my own and meeting people in my district that I haven't met before. And the GOP has been really receptive and really strong in making sure that I have all the tools that I need in order to win this race.
Well, that's fantastic. One of the things that we've heard repeatedly is that sometimes the local GOP sort of isn't willing to have an outsider candidate come in, and there will sometimes be a hamper. So it sounds like they're doing a great service for your campaign. So tell us a little bit about, obviously Will gave the short version, but tell us about your platform. What do you want to do once you unseat this vile Democrat and take his place?
So one of the things I want to do is I want to give power back to the people. One of the big, we have a lot of issues in California that also affect the nation. Homelessness. We have the highest homelessness in the population, homeless population in California. We have the highest homeless veteran population in the nation. I have a background in military service. You know, we're in between two military bases, and there is a wealth of information and there's a wealth of amount of great people, that want to support the veterans here. But John Garamendi has not given the tools. He hasn't given the guidance or leadership. Water politics, the agricultural community, they are tired of water politics being played in Washington by Garamendi and Nancy Pelosi. You know, and the farmers have expressed to me how they are ready for fresh new blood to come in and fix things that are happening in our district and be able to speak for them. John Garamendi, he was not there when the president signed the bailout bill. He was not there in solidarity, regardless of how he feels about the president, to stand by the farmers. He wasn't there. Education, bringing resources back to the community. Those are things I'm focused on. And like I said in the beginning, giving the power back to the people.
Awesome. Awesome. What do you think right now the biggest issue in America? And what's one, I guess, as a whole, not just California, because once you become a congressperson, you can, you know, work on different things that will affect all of us. What do you think the biggest issue right now in America is?
Freedom and protecting freedom.
Oh, very good. Very good. And I want to say thank you for your service, too, on top of that. You know, there's a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people can't do it. I would have loved to serve in the U.S. military, but I didn't. But I commend you for doing that. And thank you so much. Let me ask you this, and then we'll go to Tom. Just speaking from what I'm seeing here, you're not a white female, and you're running on the Republican ticket. What has from family members and from other, people in the community that are not white, black people and Latinos, how have they responded to you running on a Republican ticket?
overall, the reception has been really positive. I do, okay, and every, you know, not, I just, hold on, let me back up. There are some times where I do run into people that say, oh, whoa, wow, okay. And they don't know what to do with that, you know? But, and then you have people that want to make comments about the president. And what I just tell all of them that have come to me with the negative standpoint is that, let's talk about me. Let's talk about who I am. I'm not the president. He has his seat. I'm running for this seat. And so I just try to bring the focus back to me, because they're seeing me one-on-one, and we can talk about issues that affect them one-on-one.
Awesome.
So you mentioned the president, President Trump, and one of the interesting things, he has just reportedly started a massive ad buy with television ads running in California. And some people are scratching their heads thinking, why would you do this? You're throwing away money. California is such a blue state. Have you noticed, and obviously maybe your campaign has insight on this, is there a Republican resurgence happening in California because of what we're seeing on the left?
So California isn't dead. We have so many people here that are ready for change. And I think that one of the things that people forget is that people that are Democratic are also sensible people and know that what's happening here in California is wrong. I think that I don't have insight on the data that they have, but what I will say is that I've talked to a lot of Democrats and I've posted a lot of the videos that I take throughout my district, and Democrats are ready to vote for me and the president. And I don't think that it's a waste of money or time for him to run ads here, because all he's doing is showing them the lies that they're being told and the truth, and his policies are sound, and that's what they need to focus on.
That's a brilliant point, and I hope that you're right about that. I hope that people are kind of waking up. Can you tell us a little bit about what is it like out there on the ground when you go and you talk to these people? Because that's something I think a lot of people are probably sitting at home fascinated to hear, that people are willing to step outside of just the Democrat Party line and maybe vote for Republicans. So can you share us maybe an experience or two of being out in the field?
Yes. So I stop people all the time. I don't care where I'm at. You know, some of my latest stops have been in Costco. And this one lady, for instance, she said, I just walked up to her and I said, hi, my name is Tamika Hamilton and I'm running for office. I'm running against John Garamendi. And she's like, oh my God, I would like, yes, thank God. And I said, oh my gosh, please tell me your story. And she said, she had an issue with working at the post office and he did not respond to her over a course of a year. Mm-hmm. And by the time her issue was brought, by the time he answered her, it was election season. And that's when she got a response, but it was already too late. And she was obviously disgruntled because she's like, look, I just wanted my handicapped parking spot. I didn't want to, all I wanted you to give me an answer. And it wasn't the proper response that he had for her. He said that he found no fault and, you know, da 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 da. And she was just like, he just blew me off. And so
absolutely insane. We're getting ready to go out to break, but thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back, of course, on the other side of this. You're watching Firepower. We have our guest, Tamika Hamilton. She's going to take on the Democrats.
Have you looked at how they're attacking President Trump with the impeachment? And what are your views about them trying to impeach President Trump now?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So I think that it's just another way to distract the American people from the truth. What they should do is just focus on the American people and passing legislation that truly supports our society. Right now, even my opponent, he just came back from Ukraine. And I'm thinking, why were you even in Ukraine? What are you doing?
Your opponent was in Ukraine?
Yes.
So just is he there looking up dirt on you?
Yes.
I mean, what is it? What's the reason? I mean, his constituents are in California and he's in Ukraine for what?
Exactly. I was like, what for? What are you looking for? You know, he's wasting tax dollars along with the rest of his people. He needs to get the people on track and focus on American policies, not going over to Ukraine.
Yeah, that's just crazy. So the letter, they just brought me a copy of the letter from the lawyers that went to Nancy Pelosi about them trying to impeach President Trump. And I'm sitting there reading through this, and they won't even allow President Trump to have access to evidence, to any transcripts, to the testimonies, to any rights from, let me see what else. They won't even let him cross-examine a witness. They're having secret proceedings, and they're not even sharing any of this with the president, and they just want to impeach him. Just they're saying to you and I, to all of us, just trust us. We got this. We got it under control. We know what's best for you, and that's what we're going to do. I mean, why do you think we have Democrats that won't listen to reality or rationale? I mean, won't have rational thinking. Why do you think that is?
Because they have a lot to hide. And that's why we need people in Congress like myself that are not going to play games with the American people and tell the truth. You know, my allegiance is to the nation and to the people of this nation, and we have to focus on what's important to them, regardless of what side you lean. I would just hope that there are some sensible Democrats that make a decision to support the American people by continuing, by not continuing this impeachment proceedings. And the president needs Congress. You know, right now we're at 199. We need 218 to take the House. And people need to focus on their races and for the state races and see who's in their district and support that Republican if they have one, because we need to take back the House and we need to focus back on the American people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like your goal here is, in addition to, of course, finally giving the people of your district some representation, it sounds like if their representative is off in Ukraine, he's probably not spending too much time thinking about them. But it sounds like you want to essentially become an ally to the America First agenda and help set this country back on the right track, as well as California. Tell people, how did you come? I mean, I understand coming from a military background is a little, you definitely get tilted in one direction. How did you come to join the Republican Party? What makes you, what led you down this path?
My values align with the party. You know, I'm a conservative woman. You know, I believe in family. I believe in faith. I believe in small government. I believe that we should be raising our children to be free. And right now, the Democrats want to give handouts. And also, let's just go back to the foundation. The foundation of the Republican Party was to abolish slavery. The Democratic Party is established on hate. So I could never be a part of a party that was established based off of hate. And my district is purple. I have 8 counties, 4 of them vote red. We are a deep purple district. And even Gary Minnie in past articles has stated that he understands that we're in a purple district. And so, you know, and we only have to close a 9% gap, unlike other districts that have to close 50 to 70 that Republicans are running in. And so this is a winnable district. And that's why I need the American people across the nation to support my candidacy, because we need common sense back in Washington.
Wow. Wow. Let me ask you, have you always been a conservative?
I wouldn't say, I've never labeled myself that until I started to get involved in politics. I've always believed what I believed, and I just didn't know it had a label, if that makes sense.
Did you consider yourself a Democrat before? Or, I mean, because the only reason why I bring it up, because of the obvious, right? In this country, Democrats have convinced so many black people to jump on the Democrat plantation. And I have to admit that I was there. Thank God, he woke me up and I see the light now. And I've gone back to my roots, which is the Republican Party. And a lot of people on Twitter, when I say that, you know, black people going back to the roots, which is the Republican Party, a lot of them get upset with me. And I'm just wondering, have you always been? I mean, you know, because me, I consider myself to always have those values, too, because I was against abortion. I was against same-sex marriage values. I believe that mother and a father make up the household. And, you know, just curious, because that's one of the questions a lot of people want to know.
Yes, sir. So I never identified as a Democrat. And I never have. But also, I would tell you that I was never raised to care about politics. And so that's something that goes to having knowledge, having people in your home that care about your community, you know, and the things that are going on around you and in the world. And so I think that what, and you probably would agree with me, is that a lot of it just comes from a lack of knowledge, a lack of information. And, you know, a lot of people, especially in our community, for the most, I don't want to say the most part, I don't want to generalize anybody, but when you, when people talk, when you do talk to people that are of color about politics, a lot of them say it doesn't matter. And I say to them, it does matter. Your vote does count. And it really does, because if it wasn't, they wouldn't be trying to bring people over here for free, and they wouldn't be trying to give them licenses.
And thank you.
And accidentally put them on a voter roll. Like, let's be honest here. It does matter. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So I definitely want to learn more about how folks can get involved with your campaign, but I just want to talk about California, because it's such a beautiful state with truly amazing people that is suffering under some terrible, terrible political leadership right now. I mean, I was just reading before the show in my prep, gas averages in California, $4 a gallon. The national average is about $2.50. More and more people are leaving California every single day. And I want to know what can be done, both from Congress as well as other Republicans running in California, to make it more of an attractive place to stay, live, raise a family, have a business. What can be done?
Right now, what we are focused on, what I'm focused on, is telling people about the policies, telling them about the president's policies, versus trying to make them vote my way, you know, make them switch parties. When you start telling people about policy, then they start thinking, because right now they're making decisions from an emotional standpoint. And the one thing that we can do as people, party line aside, is educate and tell truth. And I would just ask that more. And honestly, in California, you and I, all of us know that if you're conservative, it's almost like an automatic black eye. You're scared to wear your red hat, you know, and you're scared to tell people your beliefs and why you stand for them. And so I would hope and pray that people stand up and be bold and start telling people that, hey, I'm a conservative and this is why I believe what I believe. I'm not trying to tell you to, you know, believe everything I believe, but I want you to thrive and I want you to live a free life. And what the Democrats are doing is trying to take away your freedom systematically by having you to think from an emotional standpoint. And so right now is more than ever, we need bodies. We need volunteers to educate and inform about policy.
Well, tell everyone how they can connect with you and they can support you and so you can win.
Yes, sir. So my website is TamikaHamilton.com. My email is votetamikahamilton@gmail.com. I answer all of my emails. Also, you can, from my website, you can also donate. Like I said, the key right now is for people to fundraise and to get people to stand behind me and to volunteer and support this candidacy. All of my social media is Tamika Hamilton. And then my Instagram is, you're funny, I see that, is Tamika for Congress. And I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram under the same names as well. You guys are funny.
Awesome. Well, awesome. Hey, I'm thank you for coming on with us. And I wish you the best of luck. Please come on again in the future before the, you know, when it all gets really heated up, so we can talk about you and help you out as much as we can. And please, I know you're in the military. Just call me Will. Don't call me sir. I work for a living.
Awesome. Yes, sir.
There you go. Okay, that's cool. Well, hey, thank you again and the best of luck to you. All right, thanks. This is firepowernews.com. Firepowernews.com. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Tamika Hamilton, supporter, show your support. We'll be back after this.
Forged in the fire of truth, Firepower with Will Johnson.
The censorship is thick. The censorship is thick. We have a word from Alex Jones and how far we have come. In America. We'll be back after this.
I have not wanted to come on air and say this. for a long time, even though I knew it was the truth, because I'm not somebody that wants to sound arrogant. I'm not somebody that wants to sound like I'm on a power trip, because I don't like those type of people. But if strategically it's important to get this information out there, then it's something that needs to be done and has to be done. Now, I've talked a lot about InfoWars being the front lines and the tip of the spear. And I've talked about how we put out talking points that challenge the establishment disinformation. But when you read the Atlantic Council and the CIA and the Democrats in Congress and the reports they put out to each other, white papers, not just their public statements, but their interdepartmental statements that aren't secret but aren't really popularly distributed, they have accurately pointed out that InfoWars reboot Americana as a challenge to globalism, and that we really defined globalism's real goals and who really runs it and just how authoritarian and bad they are. And so the enemy knows that InfoWars has been incredibly effective at getting the truth out and mobilizing people worldwide to defeat them and to challenge corporate cronyism, to challenge the Chi-Coms, to challenge these fascistic Davos type authoritarian groups. And so that's why they want us off the air. And people keep saying it's incredible how China runs the U.S. is coming out, and you know how the government's full of pedophiles is coming out, and how there's a world government's coming out, and all these things are coming out. How did you predict this? How did you guess this? Well, if I know about, say, a hamburger place in town that you've never been to, and I tell you about it, and then you go there and find out it's real, I didn't predict that the hamburger place is there. I'd been there. I'd eaten at the hamburger place. And it's the same thing. I've been reading the CFR. I've been reading the globalist documents from 50 years ago saying they would do this to America. Break up the family, dumb us down, use race to divide us, sex to divide us, and that they would set up China as the command base to do this to us. I mean, the Chinese century, the end of America. I mean, this has all been planned. And so, yes, a lot of good things are happening and people are waking up right now, but this is the time to realize that InfoWars is a national treasure. Our crew, our guests, this family, what we've done here, we've accurately called out the enemy and all the different crimes they're committing, and they're scared, and they should be scared, because there's no reason we should accept their nightmare system and buy all their false narratives. We know what they're setting up is anti-human and really evil. So I'm going to ask listeners to just really realize how serious all this is, and realize that it's not Alex Jones alone that is the tip of the spear. You really are the organization and the strength of this thing, the eyes and ears, the financial support, the intel, all of it. So I want to thank you, and I want to just encourage you to take advantage of the big sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's how we fund this operation. And you just shop with us, you get great products, and it's a win-win. We just ended a huge sale. We're launching a sale that in some ways is even bigger. It's the Everything Must Go sale. 40 to 70% off. Many of these are our best-selling items. These aren't just stuff that isn't selling. And double Patriot points and still free shipping. But some of the stuff we were selling at cost, so we've had to get rid of some of those sales. But some of these things we had higher markup on, so we could even discount them more. So this is an amazing sale. You'll want to take advantage of it on great supplements and so many other products at InfoWarsStore.com. Everything must go. Mega sale. Things are so serious. I want to just get everything out of the warehouse to know we've got funds to at least go a few months into next year. So thank you all for your support. Get your Wake Up America coffee, your Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste, your fish oil, your turmeric. It's all there. InfoWarsStore.com. And thank you for helping change the world for the better.
Forged in the fire of truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back, firepowernews.com. We have another special guest on with us today, or tonight in this case. Claire Lopez. I've talked to this young lady about a year ago, and she has so much information. It's just remarkable. She's had many trips overseas. She's talked to many different people. She's formerly CIA and now is Vice President of Research and Analyst at the Center of Security Policy. Claire Lopez, thank you so much for joining us. And it is good and it's an honor to see you again. I don't know if you remember me. It's been a while, right?
It's been a while, but very glad to be back with you again. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Thank you for joining myself and Tom Pepper on Firepower here. So let me ask you, let's get right into it. You know, Syria right now is like all in the news. Do you think it's wrong for President Trump to pull the troops out of Syria?
Well, I do have some reservations about that. I know that Washington, D.C. has been, you know, abuzz with reaction to the president's rather sudden announcement just yesterday. That he wanted to pull out all U.S. troops from an area that is held right now by our Kurdish allies that stood by us, fought by us against the Islamic State, our Kurdish allies in the Syrian Defense Forces, an area that borders along Turkey and an area that Turkey has declared it will enter, it will invade, and in the name of jihad, by the way, openly calling this jihad against the Kurds. That is the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and his senior officials calling this jihad. Wow. Hitler did not stop with the Sudetenland. Let's just remember that. We leave, not only will our Kurdish allies be left to face either the brunt of the Turkish attack alone or the only other choice to call upon the Damascus regime of the genocidal murderer Bashar al-Assad to join with him in protection against the Turks. And that's just the beginning of what I see as possible downstream results of the U.S. really pulling out completely from this area.
Hmm. So let's kind of keep going on the topic of Turkey, because Turkey has, of course, been holding the European Union, essentially holding them hostage for several years now, saying that if the EU does not do whatever the Turkish really is, basically a dictator now, wants them to, then he will unleash millions of so-called refugees, migrants, whatever you want to call them, on the European Union. So when they have this kind of almost blackmail, for lack of a better word, on the Europeans, what is a solution that might not require the United States to be there?
Well, the Prime Minister of Hungary is named Viktor Orban. And Viktor Orban faced the onslaught of hundreds of thousands of young Muslim male illegal migrants surging towards and across his border at one point. He didn't put up with it for long. Instead, what he put up was a very serious fence, a security barrier, a couple of layers thick. It has very serious security measures in it, and they don't have a migration problem anymore in Hungary.
That's a great point.
Let me ask you, isn't Syria part of NATO?
You mean Turkey is part of NATO, right?
Turkey's part of NATO. So
yes,
with
Turkey
President,
is let me ask, part of.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say yes. Turkey is a member of NATO, and if you're going where I think you are with this question, you know, when NATO was formed in the aftermath of World War II, and specifically formed to form a bulwark really against the Soviet Union, the communist Soviet Union of the Cold War era, Turkey was a staunch, reliable ally of the United States on the border. I mean, right on the border with the then Soviet Union and an incredibly valuable partner in NATO. That Turkey doesn't exist anymore, but the treaty, and NATO is a treaty, North American Treaty Organization, never included in its provisions, any measure for either downgrading a member or even to ejecting a member from the treaty. It just wasn't considered remotely possible that could ever be necessary. And so there aren't any measures, any provisions in the NATO treaty for dealing with an erstwhile NATO ally gone rogue, like Turkey now is a neo-Ottoman jihad state.
Yeah, it was a two-part question, and you actually answered my first question there, and you knew exactly where I was going with that. My second part is, what about the other NATO countries that are in, inside of NATO? How come they can't step up, or should they step up to fill in where America's fill that void where America's no longer going to be?
You mean in the Middle East there, in what was formerly called Syria? That's what you mean, right?
Exactly.
In that area. Well, I mean, they would say, what interest is it of theirs to be in the middle of that maelstrom? Here in the United States, we have many serious observers and commenters, saying, what do we need to be there for in the middle of all of this? Arab and Muslim and Turkish and everything else, entities have been battling each other since time immemorial. Why do we need to be there? Well, this is what the Europeans certainly would say. I have some answers about our national security interests, but I think this is what the Europeans would say. Now, there is something that I'd bring up here, and that is back to NATO again, and Turkey being a member still of NATO, and that is that there is a clause in the NATO treaty that calls upon every member to defend a member that is attacked. You'll recall, of course, that our other NATO allies came to our side after the attacks of 9/11 and joined the coalition in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So that provision remains in the NATO treaty. Now, what if we, as NATO signatories, are called upon to defend Turkey if it is attacked by, I don't know, the Kurds, which will now be defending themselves against mass slaughter and genocide? Then what?
Yeah, good question.
Wow.
Good question.
So I know that we're probably coming up on a break here, but there's lots of Americans who are, of course, tired of military action overseas. They don't understand why we're in Iraq, Afghanistan, now Syria. You mentioned that European countries will sit there and think, well, why do we want to be involved in this? So what is the national security imperative that means Americans should continue their presence there?
Well, for that, I think we have to step back a bit and take a broader view, a more strategic view than just on the ground in that place in what used to be called Syria. What are our core compelling United States national security imperatives for that region? Well, I would say number one, because our Navy is the most powerful blue water Navy in the world, we have a responsibility to help keep open the sea lanes, the channels of commerce on the seas. And right now, a close Turkey ally, that is the Islamic Republic of Iran, threatens some of these very important waterways, the Strait of Hormuz, the Bab el Mandeb on the other side.
We're getting ready to a hard break. Hold that. We're going to talk more about it right after this break. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we are back and we're talking to Claire Lopez. She was talking before the break about, she brought up Iran. So Claire, do you want to continue what you were talking about?
Sure. We were talking about what are American core compelling national security interests in this region. And I was talking about our role as guarantor of free passage of the seas, especially certain choke points. I named the Strait of Hormuz, the Bab el-Mandeb, and I would add to that the Suez Canal, and then on up to the Mediterranean itself. And now, what are we looking at? We're looking at the Islamic Republic of Iran, a jihad regime that is driving for a position from which it can threaten each one of those, Strait of Hormuz, Bab el-Mandeb, Suez Canal, and the southeastern littoral of the Mediterranean through sometimes called a Shiite crescent, sometimes talked about as an overland land corridor. So that obligation, and I think that is a responsibility that we take seriously. The second thing I would say is standing by friends and allies. Number one ally in the region, of course, is Israel. Israel is the target for much of what is going on in terms of the Iranian regime's activities in the region. It acts often through proxies. You've got Hamas threatening Israel from Gaza, the south, from the north by Hezbollah, and Iranian troops, IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, themselves actually now trying to inch ever closer to Israel proper itself on the Golan Heights in Syria, in Lebanon. So that's the next thing. And then the final thing I would say is that perception is everything in this region, elsewhere too. But the perception that the United States is not a reliable ally, that the United States cannot be depended on when the going gets tough, to stand by those that stood by us, like the Kurds, against the Islamic State, that perception, the loss of the credibility that could go with that, I think is a very serious issue that we need to give attention to. And I'm hoping that President Trump and the administration are thinking about these things after what might have been a little bit of a spontaneous phone call with a decision following a phone call with the President Erdogan of Turkey.
Yeah, one thing I heard, there was a report saying that President Trump pulling the troops out is going to make it to where a lot of these prisons that are housing ISIS members could just walk out. Now, I don't know how true. That's some of the reports that I've been hearing, and I'm like, okay, so it seems a little far-fetched, but you never know.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And first of all, I would say there is no ISIS. ISIS has not existed since June of 2014. Islamic State in Iraq and al-Sham changed its name that month to simply Islamic State. Why? This is really important. And why we call it by its proper name, IS, Islamic State, because it is no longer confined just to the area of Iraq and al-Sham, which it was at the very beginning. And when President Trump says it's been obliterated in Iraq and al-Sham, at least temporarily, perhaps so. But as Islamic State, which it's been for the last 5 years, it has a presence now all over the world. So, yes, to your point there, the Syrian Defense Forces, our Kurdish allies in this part of what used to be called Syria, hold hundreds and hundreds of Islamic State prisoners, jihadis, hardcore, battle-hardened fighting jihadis. Never mind all of their wives and children, many of whom also have been part of the fight, part of the fighting, even down to the kids. So when the Syrian Defense Forces are forced back or to retreat in the face of a Turkish invasion of this area, if that's what happens, they will leave the jails and the prisoners behind. And what are the Turks going to do? Well, we'll recall that in the early years of the uprising against Bashar al-Assad, 2011, 12, 13, Turkey, under President Erdogan at that time too, allowed Turkish territory to be used as a throughfare for jihadis coming to the Syrian battlefields from all over the world, allowed them to crisscross Turkish territory with weapons, with ammunition, with other equipment to go join the Islamic State and other jihadis fighting in the Syrian battlefields. So these prisoners, detainees, get released somehow. If they don't just go off wherever, would the Turks once again embrace them? I mean, the Turkish government is a Muslim Brotherhood government. It is jihadist. It made common cause with these jihadis before. What would happen now?
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Tom?
So, I mean, you mentioned specifically the Muslim Brotherhood government, and I think you really hit on a raw nerve there, because the uprising against Assad, I think you can probably trace that back fairly easily to the Obama White House, Secretary Clinton. Of course, we saw a similar happen in Libya, where Hillary Clinton wanted a government gone, and it was gone. We saw that in Egypt. So what is, I mean, a lot of folks are out there saying, you know, this has been created in large part by the United States government. How can the United States government, the military, proactively fight something that was created with money, weapons, munitions, everything else that came from essentially our side?
Well, a couple of things. The Muslim Brotherhood has had a presence in the greater Syria, al-Sham, for a very long time. And folks who remember history will recall that the Muslim Brotherhood there rose up against this president, Bashar al-Assad's father, Hafez al-Assad, back in 1982, and were massacred en masse by Hafez al-Assad. So this is not a new phenomenon that the Brotherhood in places like the former Syria, yes, like Egypt, Libya, occasionally rises up. It is a jihad organization, after all. And if they see these rulers as secular...
Sound like they're... I mean, really, it's just like the jihad, they're a bunch of monsters and everything. So we're getting ready to go out to break. I want to thank you for coming on with us, Claire. Please come on again with us in the future. Please tell everyone how they can connect with you and find out more information about you.
Well, thank you very much. Try going to centerforsecuritypolicy.org, or shorter URL is securefreedom.org, goes to the same place. I also write at a Newsmax blog, which you can find online at newsmax.com. And there you're showing my Twitter page under my name, Claire Lopez. So please follow me on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook in my name, Claire M. Lopez.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And it was a pleasure to see you again. And thank you for coming on with us.
All right. Thank you.
So everybody, firepowernews.com. We will be back. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton and President Trump. Hillary Clinton and President Trump fighting at it. Hillary, she should join and she should jump in 2020. Are you with her? Are you with him?
Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back. Firepowernews.com. So this was just brought to my attention. You know, I've been busy looking at news articles and trying to catch up on everything, and it's just not enough time in a day to catch everything. So one of the best ways that I catch up on it, I go to newswars.com. If you want the latest, if you want tomorrow's news today, go to newswars.com. I'm serious. You got to check it out. One of the things that was just brought up to my attention, and Tom, this is with Hillary Clinton back in the news, and she's trying to, maybe she's thinking about 2020. I don't know. Maybe, possibly. But this was just brought up. It says, this is an article, and it's Epoch Times. Republican President Donald Trump wants a rematch with Hillary Clinton, the former first lady and secretary of state, in the 2020 presidential election. This is amazing. I love it. So taking to his favorite social media platform, Twitter, of course, on October 8th, wait a minute, that's today, Trump announced, I think crooked Hillary Clinton should enter the race and try to steal it away from uber leftist liberal Elizabeth Warren. I mean, so it goes on to say President Trump said that he had only one condition for Hillary to enter the race. The crooked one must explain her high crimes and misdemeanors, including how and why she deleted 33,000 emails after getting C subpoena. I guess the C is for the, you know, she didn't understand it was classified. And then she goes on to say, don't tempt me. Do your job. Wow. Wow. I mean, you know, I want her to get in, be honest with you, Tom.
Well, and I think this is just a great moment where we can see exactly how full of hubris Hillary Clinton remains to this day. I mean, she thinks she's the president in exile or something right now. It's absolutely bizarre. Not only that, how terribly bad at Twitter that woman still remains. I'm surprised that one, it probably wasn't even written by her. It was probably a staffer, because what a gargantuanly stupid tweet where, and there's another point to this, Will, but where she says, don't tempt me to explain my high crimes and misdemeanors. I would love to tempt you to do that. But then I think we have to point out, this is in all likelihood, Twitter is putting their thumb on the scale and mitigating President Trump's reach, limiting it artificially, which we know they do. They call it a delisting or deboosting or blacklisting. They've all got their own word, these social media companies. Because if you notice, her little response, her cheeky little response, has 1,000 more likes than President Trump's. You can't tell me that happens organically. This is almost certainly Twitter fiddling with the algorithms. And frankly, I think at this point, they may just let her run. I don't think they care if she wins or loses. I think that they're thinking, hey, you know what? We've got a terrible field. Joe Biden's getting taken down by both his advanced age and Ukraine. Hillary Clinton, she's still kicking. She was passing out in 9/11 memorials 4 years ago, but let's give it a shot. Let's have crooked Hillary get in the race. And well, it's also important, we should note that on the betting websites, people can go and bet on who they think is going to win an election, or in this case, the Democrat primary. People say, or Hillary Clinton is tied. That's right. She is tied in fourth place with Bernie Sanders without even having declared. So, I mean, if she wants this thing, it's all hers. And I would love to see her explain, well, let's go back to spirit cooking. Let's go back to what on earth, how on earth Podesta, that bumbling buffoon, let his email password be leaked. Let's talk about the walnut sauce. Let's talk about these things, Hillary Clinton, and why you deleted those 33,000 emails.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the weekend, she was saying that she is the real president and President Trump is an illegitimate president. I'm like, so she will not accept the results of the 2016 election. They did everything they could to cheat. They did everything. And that's why they're like, wait a minute. How did we do all of this cheating and we still lost? You know why? Because they did not take account of the American spirit. They did not take account that the American people are onto her corruptness, her being so crooked. And I love the fact that President Trump will call her out on it. That's why they don't like him, because he'll say, oh, crooked Hillary Clinton. She's a crook. She's a criminal. And anyone else, Tom, if you deleted emails, if you had a subpoena for particular emails on a particular server that you have in your home, and you just happen to acid watch or bleach wash that server, that email server, you're going to jail. I would be going to jail. But because
We've seen a real example of this just in the last six or so months with our sponsor, InfoWars Store. InfoWars, as part of an ongoing trial, had to hand over all of their emails to the opposing side so they could comb through them. If Alex Jones had deleted his emails, he probably would have been perp walked at 2 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's change it up a little bit. So we have a video clip that we want to play here. And so it was with these four Republicans. It looked like the name has been changed on my program here. This is number six. It's four Republicans standing up to Nancy Pelosi and to all of these criminals within the Democrat Party that's trying to take out President Trump. So if I got this right, let's go to this clip, number 7.
There's an argument in favor of cherry-picking selective releases of texts. There's an argument in favor of only telling the American public what is best in the interests of wanting to take down a sitting president. Maybe you should ask what was said inside of Volcker's deposition during his transcribed interview with regards to Adam Schiff's fairy tale quid pro quo charge that aid from the United States to Ukraine was being linked to an investigation into the Bidens. Why don't you ask, what did Ambassador Volcker say about that? That's a great question. I'm glad that you asked that question.
I'm glad they asked too.
So important for you to ask is for many things, because he was in this room for several hours. And during several hours of testimony, he talked about how President Zelensky had no idea that there was a hold on aid at the time of the July 25th call. Ambassador Volcker testified about how the readouts of the phone call that was made to him, that there was nothing in the readouts about there being a hold on U.S. aid or a quid pro quo. Or Ambassador Volcker testified, this is what the transcribed interview would tell you if you asked this question. I'm glad that we're having this discussion.
He keeps saying that because the reporters are not even asking that question. They're not asking what the real crime here. They're not asking about the real transcript. They're not asking, did President Trump actually pressure the president? No, he didn't pressure him. They don't care. They want to keep going with the narrative.
Ukraine makes no reference to there being a hold on aid or there being a quid pro quo. And by the way, you know what else Ambassador Volcker testified to? This entire time, the aid was getting released. It was going to get released. And guess what happened? The aid got released. And you know what didn't have to happen? There was no new investigation that had to get created. This whole thing is a fairy tale. Adam Schiff is misleading you, and you're playing along with it. Many of you are.
You know what? I don't think Adam Schiff is misleading the liberal media. I think the liberal media know exactly what Adam Schiff is doing. They're picking that mantle up and they're running with it to continue this agenda to attack President Trump, because all of them want President Trump out. They hate this man. They love to hate Trump. They love to hate Trump. I mean, this is crazy. You know what, Tom? We see this over and over, time in and time out and time again, that they constantly would not show the truth. You have to go to places like InfoWars, NewsWars.com. You have to go to Breitbart. You have to go to InfoWarsStore.com, which is our sponsor. You have to go to these places to get the truth. And they know it. That's why they're wanting to shut all of it down. You have to go to FirePowerNews.com to get the truth. We shouldn't, you know what? This shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be experiencing this. This should not be happening. We shouldn't be experiencing this. It should be tell the truth, report on the truth, report the news, and be done with it. But they have an agenda. They follow right along with the Democrats, with Shifty Schiff, with Shifty Schiff. He is so shifty. I'm going to take a break and go take a shift. I'll be back. All right, we are back, firepowernews.com. You know, so much going on. We're running out of time. We can't get to everything. And we have the show packed full of videos, information that we want to relay and get out to everyone. But, you know, we have so much happening, we just run out of time every single time. One of the things I think, and I think Tom would agree, this is a video that we wanted to play in the last segment. This is President Trump. He's tired of writing letters to deceased or for deceased soldiers. And Tom, I think this is a video that we probably should take the time to play. I mean, I think it's well worth it. And for us to not do it is, my personal opinion, would be a disservice to the men and women that serve in the military. So let's go to that video.
And, you know, I have to sign letters often to parents of young soldiers that were killed. And it's the hardest thing I have to do in this job. I hate it. I hate it. Afghanistan. I signed one the other day. Iraq. Syria. They get blown up by mines. They get taken out by a sniper. And I have to write letters to people. And we make each letter different. Each person is different. And we make them personal, but no matter what you do, it's devastating. The parents will never be the same. The families will never be the same. People are killed. Many people are still being killed. It's going to go on that way for perhaps a long time. And we're willing to do what we have to do, but there has to be an end game. And if you stay, it's going to be the same thing. Eventually, you're going to have to leave. It's going to be the same thing. So I think what we're doing is the right thing. A lot of people agree with me. A lot of people agree with me. And again, you go back and see my speeches. A big part of my speech, and always when I won what some people consider to be a surprise election, now I just see a poll that just came out where I'm up massively with independent voters. I don't know if it's this or because of the hoax, you know, that's going on with Nancy Pelosi and her friend, Adam Schiff. He's another beauty. He got caught lying all over the place. He doesn't know what to do. He's a mess. Right now, he's a mess. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows it. Just all you have to do is a little good reporting. You'll see he's a total mess because he got caught. But, you know, we have to do the right thing for our country, whatever it may be. And I just think that's the right thing. I respect both opinions. The problem with the other opinion is, when do we leave? When do we leave? We're going to stay there forever?
Yeah. Yeah. When do we leave? I mean, he has a good point. And, you know, so many other people have good points about why we probably should have troops there. But to my understanding, not all of the troops are coming out. There's going to still be troops there in certain regions. I'm going to follow President Trump's lead because so far he has made good decisions for this country and for the people in it. And I'm going to follow his lead on it. So, I mean,
Will, it is something that I think Americans are just sick and tired of endless war. I mean, look, I'm 24 years old, about to turn 25. This country has been at war since I was 6 or 7 years old is when 9/11 happened. We have been overseas in foreign countries fighting for God knows what. I think that most Americans don't understand this. We have the world's best Navy. We have the world's best military. No other nation could hold a candle to us, largely thanks to President Trump and his massive spending bill and the trillions of dollars for the military. I don't think people understand why our men and women need to be in these countries to provide police when these countries, I mean, you would think that these countries, if they are worth protecting, their people would protect them. And instead, they're falling back on the United States military, our might, our men and women, and they're dying. Yes. I mean, you probably know people. I know people that have either been maimed, injured, or killed. I know people who are serving overseas right now, and it is their responsibility, and they take it seriously. But even when they get down to it, they don't understand why we're there. I don't think anybody truly understands why we're there. All of these different countries, it's been going on generational war warfare at this point. And as Trump said earlier in that clip, you know, we just can't play everything like you said. The people who want us there the most are China and Russia because they think it's great that we're spending decades fighting, playing in a sandbox, essentially, while those countries are building up their arsenals, building up their economy, and becoming stronger while we become weaker. I'm sorry to rant, but Will, a lot of people forget this is what broke the Soviet Empire. The Soviet Union fell after years of warfare in Afghanistan. It's called the graveyard for empires. And so I hope that President Trump will continue to remove troops from the Middle East and make us an actual prosperous nation that isn't propped up by a military-industrial complex.
Yep, absolutely. So on a different note, on one that the liberal media was not expecting to happen, and they probably try to shut it down as much as possible, is that, you know, people like their vehicles. And some people have gas guzzlers, diesels, and now some of the people have electric vehicles. And I have to admit, I do like the way the new Tesla looks. I mean, I don't have, you know, there is an electric Audi, and it's really nice, but I can't afford it. But it's still nice, you know. So let's just go to this video clip where this reporter is talking to this lady and talking about it's so weird that you have a vehicle that's not a gas guzzler. Let's go to it.
You're protesting and you drive a diesel van.
I do.
That does seem kind of odd, to be honest.
It does seem kind of odd, but I haven't got a lot of money. I can't afford to spend however much it is on electric car.
It's odd for you to own a vehicle that you can afford. What are you thinking? You're supposed to go in debt. You're supposed to be broke. Buy what we want you to buy.
Well, and Will, it's interesting. That logo she has, that's part, I'm not even going to say their name, but it's part of a radical environmentalist group that was recently caught during one of their protests using a diesel generator to power signs. So this is par for the course for these environmentalists. Power for me, but not for thee.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So you know what? This we got one more clip in here that we can squeeze in. And this one is so classic. I wish we had the other one to go along with this. And this is the one I'm talking about. It's Gaffey. I can't remember her name. They threw her off the stage. Or she's supposed to be on
Tulsi
the stage.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Thank you. See? She's already out of sight, out of mind because of the way they kicked her to the side. But anyways, I wish we should play this clip to play about Kamala Harris and how she locked up so many people because they got caught with marijuana in the state of California. So we have a clip here, and let's just go see how she reacts to, you know, possibly someone smoking weed in an environment somewhere. Let's go to that clip.
Good vibes.
It's
like yoga.
Jamaican music. Jama. So they say they're probably doing yoga, and she says, oh, they're probably smoking weed, and then laugh about it. I mean, how's that not being one of the biggest hypocrites ever? I mean, really?
She really is, Will. I mean, this is a woman who, again, the state of California, you would never expect it in a place like that. She's responsible for keeping people, predominantly young black men, to be honest, in prison because of small amounts of marijuana. And here she is. I mean, we saw her a few months ago joking, yeah, when I was in college, I'd be smoking blunts and listening to Snoop Dogg. Yeah. And here she is laughing, or it smells like weed. Meanwhile, again, we have another example of leftist absurdity. This time it's marijuana for me, but not for thee.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Tom, awesome show. Nice to see you again. We'll most definitely see you tomorrow. I want to thank everyone for joining us. We're like a minute and a half before we roll out of here. You know what? One of the biggest thing is like, you know, I'm looking at the flag that you have flying there. Did we follow the guidelines? Are we going to be banned? Are we going
to
be banned?
The Chi-Com Dragon is telling me right now that we've done a good job of supporting the Chinese narrative. President Xi Jinping is on our side. And Thursday, we're going to be bringing in the new shipment of fentanyl from fentanyl, the Chi-Com Dragon, that will, yes, it will kill approximately 17 million Americans, just as the Chinese Communist Party wanted. So, Will, I think we've done everything right today.
Awesome. Awesome. So I want to thank everyone for sharing ban.video. Thank you for sharing it because they're banning us everywhere, right? They're banning Americans that stand up for truth. They're banning Americans who support the president. They're banning Americans that like honey. I think Pooh, he's still in the China jail. I mean, so if you're close to China and you're on your way there, take some honey to Pooh. Who needs some honey? He needs some honey. Anyways, all right. Hey, I want to thank everyone once again. Beautiful show. Thank you all for joining us. Awesome time. We will be here tomorrow, live and direct, God willing. We will be here live, firepowernews.com. And please support our sponsors, InfoWarsStore.com.